Is learning to ride a bicycle on your must-do list? Maybe you've always wanted to become a dab hand at plate spinning. My next guest can help. You might remember a month or so ago we did a story on play and why it matters so much. This prompted Phil Milgar to get in touch. Phil's a former primary school principal who's made play a way of life, and he's our Meet the Listener guest this week. Hi, Phil.
Hello, Richard, and good morning to everyone.
Now, you actually wanted to make a point about language, didn't you?
Well, when I got in touch with your show a few weeks ago, I was taken by what you'd written in your blog on a Friday, and it appeared that what a funny language English is, where the same activity could be described as both work and play.
Yes.
And so, from my point of view, it was as somebody who'd had a background in education as a principal and as a performing arts teacher, and also as an entertainer and musician. When asked at home, for example, whether I was playing this Saturday night, I would often answer yes. However, it eventually dawned on me that if I said, no, I'm working this Saturday night, I didn't have to do the dishes.
Right, okay, so you get more kudos for going out to do something you enjoyed anyway.
Totally. Mm. Same activity, but you weren't out playing with your friends, you're actually working.
And that's right.
An income-producing activity that meant that you could describe exactly the same activity with the opposite word.
No. Actually, as a couple, you and your wife have spent quite a bit of time together. Apparently, you even shared a classroom at one stage.
Richard, we did. Back in the late 70s, we shared a school, a lovely school at Hanging Rock here in central Victoria. And we had the one classroom. Claire, my wife, was at one end of the classroom and I was at the other end. And that was a wonderful arrangement where we lived at the school, which was in an L shape, with the building, the school building, and adjoined at the bedroom wall, so that if you happened to have a day off with a splitting headache, a migraine or whatever, you could hear the scratching of the chalk just 4 inches away on the other side of the wall.
You can have staff meetings in the kitchen.
Well, we could. We even had better ones in the bath. Some of the best staff meetings I've ever been to in the last 35 years have been...
It's a family show, Phil, so be careful. So at what point did you take off the school principal hat and step out into the playground?
Richard, that's a very good point and a very good question. I think my self-awareness grew over that time as a principal in the late 70s, and I realised that anybody could be a principal or a teacher of literacy and numeracy as well as I could. In fact, I even came in those days to my own definition of what a principal was. And you may be aware, a principal is what you have left once you've subtracted the interest.
Oh,
so it led me to leave that life and accept the position with full-time study leave to study music, and then I headed off as a performer and performing arts teacher.
Right, so well, first of all, I should say that I think that principals are vitally important to schools, and to, but you know that, so I won't say any more about that, but I will ask is, what do you do now?
Well, I work as a freelance peripatetic educational funmonger.
A funmonger?
A funmonger, yes. You know what an ironmonger is, or a fearmonger, a warmonger, a fishmonger? Well, I'm a funmonger, and I work at lots of festivals, I go into schools, some corporate work, and entertain people, always with an educational purpose behind it. So in schools these days, where the F word really has been taken out of the curriculum, I put the three-letter F word back in the curriculum.
So what do you teach?
Essentially how to coordinate, a lot of coordination activities, which are circus skills, brain gym activities. I do lots of song and dance work with children. And it's putting an element back in the curriculum that unfortunately has been eroded over the last few years, particularly with an emphasis on teaching those things that can easily be counted. And it's always been my belief that many of the things that count can't be counted.
Well, that's, I mean, with NAPLAN becoming increasingly important, one can only see that that emphasis strengthening. So what are some of the circus skills you teach? Because kids love that kind of thing, don't they?
They certainly do. And look, the most popular would have to be the little mini bikes and the stilt walking. They are the things that children are naturally drawn to. Stilt walking, from my point of view, is an elevated form of therapy. It's the sort of thing that when I go into schools, I can usually claim higher duties. And so can any other teacher that learns to walk on stilts. But it's a great thing for students because it changes their perspective on the world. Rather than be constantly looking up, They're on top of things, looking down sometimes on their teachers or their parents, whatever, and it really does change their whole perspective on the world. So it's a great way of just refocusing and changing anybody's perspective by walking on stilts. And I'm talking about the sort of stilts that strap to your legs.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
Your hands are free to juggle or do whatever else.
Well, obviously. I mean, why not make it harder? Now, you mentioned, I think, the unicycle. The only people I know who have unicycled successfully have been children or people who learned to do it when they were children. Now, you didn't learn to do it when you were a kid, did you?
No, Richard. Having been a Life Matters listener for many years and offspring before this, before Life Matters, about 25 years ago when our eldest child was born, I took some time off to be the modern parent and the modern father to be at the birth. But a happy byproduct of that was that I learned to ride the unicycle because I had time every day to devote to it. And that was when I was in my 30s, and it worked extremely well, and it increases your balance, it increases all sorts of brain functioning activities. As I said before, it's a form of brain gym or educational kinesiology. And children take to it really very well because they fall with about a 16th of the force that an adult does.
So yes.
They are less fearful of falling. They haven't been walking upright for that long anyway. And so they don't actually hurt themselves as much when they fall. So children love it. And if adults persist, it's a wonderful way. It's twice as much fun as bike riding. And they don't cost as much as a bike either.
Now, what are the... I mean, I can see the benefits of this just because it's different to everything else that kids do. But are there other genuine, I suppose, educational benefits from teaching someone to juggle or walk on stilts?
Look, it is a form of educational kinesiology or brain gym. It is, from my point of view, juggling is yoga for the hyperactive. It's the sort of thing that reinforces left and right brain hemisphere, crossing the centre line. It has a number of educational benefits, but more particularly I think it's metaphoric for all learning. If you believe you can do it, you're more likely to achieve. And learning to cope with, it's also a metaphor for learning to cope with more than you thought you could in life. So many people can handle one ball or two balls, but if you learn to juggle three, well, that's really putting you in a small percentage of the population, or four or five. I can actually juggle nine balls myself.
Wow.
But not all at once.
One of the schools you visit is Marysville, a community that was hit so hard at the beginning of last year with the Black Saturday bushfires. What are you doing there?
Richard, I offered Marysville some days after the fires because I'd been to the school doing the fun-mongering work and the jollity consulting, and then they had the bushfires at the start of last year. So my contribution was to offer them some days, and it's turned into a visit once a month to Marysville. And it's wonderful to see all of those things happening that I've just been talking about, the children having this elevated form of therapy, walking around on stilts, looking down on their problems and adults and all sorts of things, changing their perspective on the world. And so they juggle, they spin plates. Plate spinning is simply an exercise in centeredness, your own as well as the plate. And walking on stilts, all of these things, juggling is a tremendously, I think... it's a very therapeutic activity. It's the sort of thing that you can do by yourself. A few minutes of juggling, and following up on your previous interview, if one were to juggle and drink water, or walk and drink water, hydrate, it's a wonderful way of just refocusing for a few minutes. It's like having a game of golf or a little dance with yourself. And it's a very therapeutic educational activity for adults and for children.
Thanks very much for joining us today, Phil.
Richard, thank you.
That's Phil Milgaard, I Meet the Listener guest, performing arts teacher, blurs the line, I think, between work and play.